first and foremost, happy Father's Day. Yeah, let's give our dads an applause. Before we get started, let's dismiss our kids to Revolution Kids Church. So, I'm not going to go there yet and acknowledge what today is, but I'm sticking with the Old Testament. Love the Old Testament. We've learned a lot about Jonah, which is one of my favorites, but today we're going to learn a little bit about Elijah and Elisha, and I'm going to do my best to say Elijah and Elisha so we don't get confused. I know I got the twang already, okay, so I'll do my best. Sit back and open your hearts and your minds and your ears and hear the words from the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 9 through 14. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what may I do for you before I'm taken from you?" And Elisha said, "Please, let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "Well, you've asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. I heard a chuckle. I should have said far. I get it. I know what that was. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the Israel chariot and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He then picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and he struck the water saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water parted to one side and to the other side, and Elisha went over. The word of the Lord. Now I'm going to speak a little bit today on some history. I'm not going to do too much, but I think it's important to set the stage of where Elijah and Elisha are at this point. So at this time, Israel had split into two kingdoms. So you had the northern kingdom and you had the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was Israel, the southern kingdom was Judah. Elijah was a prophet for the northern kingdom, and boy, he had it rough. The northern kingdom wasn't the best. Those kings were, most of them were pretty evil. And Elijah's job as a prophet wasn't just to share visions, but to be a conscience to that king, to say, "Hey, remember, you are Israel. You are to worship and love Yahweh. You are to follow God." But Elijah was a prophet when Ahab was a king. And Ahab was a rough dude, okay? He worshipped Baal, however you want to say it, El. He had all kinds of gods. And he actually persecuted those who worshipped God. And he was super hard on those who were less fortunate. So Elijah, even though this was the king he was dealing with, he never stopped. He always said, "Hey, you got to get back to God." He performed miracles, he talked about Yahweh, and of course Ahab didn't like that. So Ahab and his lady friend Jezebel, we all heard that name, they wanted to kill Elijah. So Elijah did what any bold, dynamic, strong prophet would do, and he ran and hid in a cave. Now while he was in the cave, you know, he had some internal struggles. But mostly he was on a pity party. "Woe is me. I'm the only person left on earth that loves you, God. There's no point in doing this anymore." And so God spoke to Elijah and revealed to him a very important secret. Get over yourself. Get off your pity party. You can check, it's there. It worked. That still small whisper, that revelation, helped Elijah realize, "I got to stay on point." So his first mission that God sent him on was to find a successor. So he went off, looking for someone who he could train up to be a prophet. Because God knew the northern kingdom wasn't going to get any better, okay? So he still needed someone there to preach God, to remind them to love Yahweh. So as he was walking along, he sees this guy working in a field. And then he realizes that the guy working in the field wasn't actually a field worker. He was a family member who owned the field and the oxen, which was totally unheard of. That's not what they're supposed to do. That's my guy. He's got some integrity. He's willing to get his hands dirty to get the job done. So he literally passes by and throws a mantle on him. No, not a 200-pound of timber that hangs over your fireplace. A mantle is a cloak. And this cloak was very, very evident that when you wore it, that meant you were literally wrapped in the authority of God. So Elisha knew immediately when that mantle hit his back what had just happened to him. He had been called as a prophet. And I just love this picture. Isn't it so nice? Doesn't Elisha's face look so calm? I go, oh, okay, I'll give up my inheritance and everything to follow God. It's got to be easy in the environment that we're living in where there's polytheism and everybody's worshiping every kind of God there is. I don't quite think that's how this worked. I think it worked like this. Oh, did my video not play? There we go. Gotcha. I think this is more accurate because we're dealing with humans here, right? Elijah was like, gotcha. Literally, like, hey. Tag, you're it. And Elisha did hesitate, okay? He was like, hey, can I go say goodbye to my parents first? And he threw this big feast. And so he had a little bit of hesitation and procrastination. But he eventually did go. So I want to take a look at where we were in the scripture today that I read to you. So Elijah and Elisha knew at this point that Elijah was going to be taken. He was going to go to heaven, that his time was done, and it was going to be passed on to Elisha. And Elisha was smart. He asked for a double share of spirit because he knew this wasn't going to be no easy gig. So he saw his friend, his mentor, a man that was like a father to him. He didn't die, but he saw him ascend into heaven. And he grieved. He tore his clothes in two, which was a sign of distress and grief. He was sad and angry that he had lost him. But what did he do? He picked up the mantle. He knew he had a job to do. He knew he had to stay on point. You see, there's another piece of this mantle that applies to us today. That mantle is just not a piece of clothing that we wear. It's a call. It's a mission. It's a vision for your life. It's a gift that you have been given to use to serve God. And guess what? We all have a mantle. Have you picked yours up? Now, I realized with this service, this teaching, that it wasn't going to be an easy one. And I didn't want to write it. I procrastinated. Just ask Chris. I wore him out because I was so stressed out about my procrastination. Because I realized this is a twofold kind of teaching for me today. A, I'm saying goodbye. I'm saying goodbye to a mentor who welcomed me, who gave me a space to grow and to figure out what this looks like, who sit long times with me and talked a lot of theology, and I know, bless his heart, I wore him out. He was a trooper. And I'm saying goodbye to a staff who have been the best people that I've ever worked with. They are challenging, yet affirming. They are witty beyond wit, and I love it. It's a skill I don't have and I admire. It is a gift. And they've brought me so much joy and laughter in my life. And then I'm saying goodbye to you, a community that has welcomed me and Chris and Summit and loved us, affirmed us, prayed for us, and welcomed us like you've known us our whole lives. But I also know that next week, I'm saying hello, and I'm picking up my mantle. I'm finally, after 16 very long years, living what God called me to do. I'm picking up my mantle, which is why God gave me this teaching. But he also gave me this teaching for you. Maybe you don't know that you even have a mantle, but I'm here to tell you that you do. You have a gift that God has placed inside of you to release into the world so that people can know Jesus. And maybe you're already wearing your mantle. Fantastic. Don't stop. It's amazing what these mantles can look like, too. They can be very simple. It can be, you know, I've wondered about this Celebrate Recovery thing and what it's all about. Maybe you just need to show up and let God reveal to you what it is that he's placed inside of you for that ministry. Maybe you have a hurt, hang-up, or habit that you didn't even realize you had. Or maybe you have one and you share it and someone else has it and they didn't realize it. That's how this works. Or maybe you feel like you have a gift for gab and you can talk to people, but it's hard to talk to people. But we have this Family Scholar House thing. We've got this Fourth Avenue thing that we do every week. But I don't have anything in common. I just don't know them. How do you know? Maybe you show up and God gives you this awesome common ground and you realize you've been there. You've done that. Or maybe you've been financially blessed. But giving to a church, it's like giving to an institution. People are bad. They don't do good things with money. But this is God's church. And I can guarantee you, if you put money in those buckets, those are there for a reason. We put that money to work for God. It can look so many different ways, the mantle can. We just have to pick it up and let God do the rest. You see, when we finally pick up our mantle, we realize we've been equipped the entire time to do it. God had placed that gift in us. It's simply allowing him an opportunity to use it. It was given to us a long time ago. And I want to take a look. I didn't read verse 8, but I want us to read it together along with verse 14. Then Elisha took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them had crossed on dry ground. He, Elisha, took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water was parted from one side to the other, and Elisha went over. This was the same miracle that Elijah performed before he ascended. And Elisha picked that mantle up. Do you think he was 100% confident that if he struck that water, it was going to part? I'm guessing he was like, okay, please let this work. Please let this work. But he had faith, right? He had to have had faith. That's what made that water part. God saw that little bit of faith. All we need is a mustard seed, right? That could be all he had. But he touched that water. And God performed that same miracle that Elijah had performed. And in doing that, solidified the fact for everyone that saw, but mostly for Elisha, you are equipped for this. I've called you for this. You see, faith eradicates the doubt you have in your own abilities because it solidifies the truth of God's abilities. That's what faith does. It crashes all those lies that we tell ourselves about not being good enough. I can't speak in public. I can't talk to people. I can't cook. I can't serve. I don't have time. Those are all lies. that the devil is wanting to tell you to quench the spirit. If Elisha had believed that, if he had believed his own self-doubt, he may have never stepped in to being a prophet. And God may have never been able to do the stuff, the awesome miracles that he performed through Elisha. And those people may have never heard about God. Could have been a completely different ending. You see, if you want God to move, you must act in a way that shows you believe that he will. 11 years ago, that's not true, 5 years ago, after 11 years, I was engaged. We were planning a wedding. And I told my fiance that I was going to go to seminary. That conversation went really well. Well, what's this going to look like? I don't know. Well, how are you going to pay for it? I don't know. Well, where did this come from? It came from God. Well, how do you know? I just know. Well, how long have you been wanting to do this? 11 years. Well, what are you going to do with it? I don't know. Well, are you going to be a preacher? I don't know. Are you going to do this full time? I don't know. Can you tell this went really great? I had no idea what God was going to do. But I knew since I was 20 years old that God had wanted me to do it. And it took me 2 years of even being in school before I would say the word pastor, because I was petrified of actually saying that that's what God wanted me to do because of all the lies I had told myself and believed from all the other stuff I heard. You can't do that. You're a woman. You can't talk in public. You can't do that. You know it's long hours. You know that people call you all the time. You know that you don't have a life. I don't know any of that stuff, but I just know God wants me to do it. So I started down this path, no idea where it would end up. And I wake up one day, and God's taking care of everything. And he provided me with all of you. And next week, he's provided me with another community. You want God to move. You got to act in a way that shows you believe that he will. What is this? Anybody want to take a gander? Yell it out. It's your vision. It's your mission statement. Elijah and Elisha, they stayed on point. They knew what they had to do. They had to preach God when it wasn't cool. When everyone else was worshiping all the other gods, they knew they had to preach Yahweh. You're to love Yahweh. You're to worship Yahweh. You are Israel. That's what you're supposed to do. Elisha and Elijah were bold, dynamic, faithful followers of God. But they were also human, and they had their own doubt. But ultimately, they let God's abilities be more powerful than the doubt they had in their own. They stayed on point. Jesus, another great role model for how to stay on point. The Father sent him. He knew what he had to do, but Jesus had doubt. Remember Garden of Gethsemane? He didn't want to go through with that. But not what my will is, what your will is. He stayed on point. Now I'm looking at a community right now of bold, dynamic, faithful followers of God. And I know this transitional period is weird. It's going to be hard. You're anxious, nervous, scared, sad. Whatever you may be feeling, though, remember, this is your mission. You are to be the revolution. And you all are so good at doing that. This world needs that. And Elisha and Elijah shows us that in the midst of the turmoil, in the grief, in whatever may be going on in our lives, when we stay faithful, when we pick up our mantles, when we believe that we are equipped because of who God is, we can sit back and watch God move. Pray with me. Gracious God, you have blessed us with so much. And I thank you for the call that you have on each person in this room. And I pray that if you haven't yet revealed to them what their call is, what their mantle may be that they need to pick up, that you do that with such boldness that they can't do anything else but pick it up and run with you. Lord, I thank you for your grace today, for your mercy, for your love, for all the goodness that you have that you share with us. Amen.
Let me invite Ashley and Chris to come on up. So a few years back, I get a Connect card, and it has Ashley and Chris on it. And I meet this couple in Hikes Point. They live in Hikes Point. And I think, wow, these are some fantastic people. And she says, I'm going to Western Theological Seminary. And I said, really? In Holland, Michigan? And she says, yeah. I said, well, that's kind of where I'm from. Tell me all about it. And to see where you've both come in your faith. And to see today goes down as a top five. Tom Grebe doesn't let you preach once a month, I will haunt him. I will haunt him, and Kendall will help. But I'm just so proud of both of you, and to see you both take this next step together with Little Summit, I know that God has great things for you. God is going to bless you, and God is going to bless the socks off of St. John. I think a lot of your calling is to bring joy to people who are joyless, and that's needed. So, here's some mantle and a gift from us as well. We're so proud of you, and we send you with every blessing. Could we extend a hand, and we'll pray for Chris and Ashley? Oh, God, you work in miraculous ways. And I thank you that you brought Ashley and Chris here for such a time as this to give us joy, to teach us, to grow us in grace. I thank you for their friendship. Thank you that we are part of something that never ends. Whether they move to another church or not, we're all part of the same kingdom, and we rejoice in that together. So God, send a double portion of your Spirit upon Chris and Ashley, who we bless in your name. And God, may you use them to bring joy to the people of St. John. We ask this in Jesus' name, and the people of God said,
I've never been good at goodbyes, and I never will be. So this isn't goodbye. This is see you later, tater. Go be the revolution, y'all. Go be Jesus out there. See ya.